It's winter break, nearly here, winter break, nearly here, nearly here.
The TV's in the classroom.
Teacher's got the VHS.
What could it be?
We can hardly guess. Winter break, fun day, finally. In just 2 hours, we'll be free. All we have to do is watch some Disney crap.
But don't worry,
it'll all be over in a snap.
Well, it's that time of the year again. We're settling in for the holidays. About to take that little winter hibernation. But first, before our break, we need to see what the VHS we have queued up to insert on the mobile CRT television in this delightfully wicked classroom to spread some holiday cheer. How is your holiday going, Mr. Dorn? Not great, huh?
No.
No.
This is my time of the year to be a Scrooge and a grump.
Ooh, all right.
The only thing that could make it worse is if you put something evil and dastardly on that television.
I have made a special videotape this year. A very special one. And it has once again been handpicked from a number of Christmas selections on Disney Plus. And the decision is... two modern Simpsons Christmas episodes. Are you ready?
No.
Well, sorry. Let's do this.
How the Homer Stole Christmas is the event of the season about a man who plays Santa for all the wrong reasons.
But this time I'm sober-ish.
In his own warped, twisted, and confused way, he's trying to bring all of Springfield together this day.
Shouldn't you all be singing carols or something?
The Simpsons, all new next week on Fox Laugh Out Loud Sunday.
Okay, so we decided to pick two episodes from Modern Simpsons to review, but specifically their Christmas episodes. I picked one, you picked one. But before we get into this discussion and reveal which two we picked out, what are your fond memories of the early Christmas ones from the first 9 seasons?
So you want to know something really, really funny?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, so a couple of things. My holiday is going fine. Also, I think. I forgot. It was unclear that we were going to be watching these and talking about these today. So I was like, you know what? Actually, you graciously let me just delay the recording and watch them. And I watched the second episode first, but then I watched the first episode second. So the earlier one that we're going to talk about today, I didn't remember when you told me the title. And we'll talk about that in a second, right?
Mm-hmm.
I started watching it, and I was like, holy shit. That's the Christmas episode I watched as a kid.
Yeah.
Like, over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about, like, my memories of earlier Simpsons Christmas specials, that's this one, the one from season 15. I had a specific scene burn into my head. But with regard to the older Christmas Simpsons episodes, I'm trying to think. The only one I can remember off the top of my head is the original, Simpsons Roasting.
Yeah,
on the
Simpsons
open fire.
That's of course, was not the pilot, but is the first episode technically aired because the show got delayed. And then they advertised this as its standalone Christmas episode, but that all gets reversed in the the legacy of the show.
Right.
And then they have some episodes that kind of go on later. There is, of course, March Be Not Proud, which is a very famous one where Bart gets caught shoplifting.
That's right.
That has Thrill House and Bone Thrill Sperm. Yeah, Thrill House. Of course, there's the episode Miracle in Evergreen Terrace where Bart burns down the Christmas tree. And there's the bizarre Skinner's Sense of Snow from season 12 and the Grift of the Magi from season 11. And Grift of the Magi has Gary Coleman. That is the Funzo episode, I believe.
The fuzzy guy, right?
Yeah, exactly. And if you go right now, you can go on to Disney Plus, which, as we discussed last week, now has Hulu on it as we are recording this. But if you go on their Happy Holidays collection, you go through, they do have a Simpsons Christmas area. But I do find it interesting that it took them all the way until season 7 to start doing Christmas episodes again, because their first one was so well known. But after that, it's pretty much kind of opened up the floodgates. And even though people probably do mostly remember Simpsons Roasting, and of course Simpsons Roasting, that's where they get Santa's Little Helper, which also explains that was in the 8th episode of the show, and that's why in the first 7 episodes that follow you never see Santa's Little Helper. And then March Be Not Proud, that's kind of why people remember those most. But after that, the writers kind of started really letting loose, and then they just did so many afterwards, and there are way more Christmas episodes from the later seasons. But the first one we decided to talk about was from season 15. And season 15 is in the what people like to call the first reign of Al Jean, and Al Jean took the show back over in season 13. In season 14, the show got a makeover in its own look by switching from cell painted animation to digitally colored animation, so completely changed their look. And sort of like that season 14-15 era is sort of acknowledged as sort of a modern renaissance of sorts, because it follows what people call the Scully era, which is by showrunner Mike Scully. That's in seasons 9, 10, 11, and 12, where things got far more wackier. We got those jockey elves and stuff like that. Honestly, looking back on those eras now, I think it's far funnier. If you watch those episodes, at least those episodes have jokes. But back then, when this 15th season episode, it's aptly named, episode aired, I really, really liked it. I thought it was better than the Christmas episodes during the Scully era. It's very Christmassy. It has a lot of fun parodies. It's very reminiscent of The Critic and all of its parodies, especially. But I want to know, you're nostalgic for this episode especially. What was your feeling watching it for the first time in ages?
So I didn't quite remember the episode. I watched it really, really young enough that there were jokes this time that I was actually understood finally. Mm-hmm. So like, we're talking young.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that I'd seen it before until I saw the part with the California prunes.
Yeah.
Which is burned into my memory and has been for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
With regard to how I felt watching it back, I felt that like it wasn't funny, and you can feel that a lot of the jokes are the same shitty kind of jokes that are still told on The Simpsons. Mm-hmm. I don't obviously want to attribute it all to just Al Jean being the showrunner. But I typically find that like the style of comedy are references, not very funny ones where people kind of just talk at the screen. Mm-hmm. But it's got like a decent pacing and a pretty good idea. Some reason, it reminds me a lot of Lisa the Iconoclast, the one where, I don't know why.
So Lisa the Iconoclast is a classic season 7 episode where Lisa discovers that the myth of Jebediah Springfield is fake.
Right. It's the conflict between two characters, I suppose, like Marge and Lisa, and the rest of the world being these easily swayed mobs of morons, is kind of the plot of the episode, right? Is that Homer, am I remember, this is the right episode, yeah. Homer and Flanders are in a battle of who can be
becoming
the best.
Town, the crier, yeah.
Exactly, of who can be, yeah, exactly, who can be the best person that Christmas, like who can give the most cheer and be the most supportive. Homer inadvertently steals Ned Flanders's busybody do good
kind of attitude. It's an interesting episode because it switches what it, like the arc of the episode is pretty much like constantly switching and moving. It has it does not have a typical structure of a story.
Yes.
It's more of this happens, which causes this to happen, which causes this to happen. Pretty much to describe the episode, the Simpsons in Mr. Burns gives Homer a rare John DiMaggio baseball
card.
John DiMaggio. You know, this is not the first time. This also happened in a podcast I was listening to where they said John DiMaggio instead of Joe DiMaggio. John DiMaggio, of course, is the...
bite his shiny metal ass.
Yeah, he's a voice bender. Joe DiMaggio, baseball card, takes it to comic book guy who gives him... like hundreds of dollars for it because it's super rare. He buys a gift selfishly on his behalf, which is this astrolabe that gives out information. It's basically a 2000 free version of an Alexa. It's pretty much what to describe it as. And the family is very disappointed in him, and Homer watches an episode of a special of The Christmas Carol, which is one of the parodies I think does work because years back, Jim Hill of Jim Hill Media, our famous Disney dish man, he did a thing called Scrooge University. And it pretty much like compiled and reviewed every Christmas Carol variation along with its parodies done over the years. And there were so freaking many of these. Like, and the writers do pretty much capture that. Like, there's, you know, obviously some funny examples such as a Star Trek version. But yes, that is very true to life, where there's just so many variants of, you know, Christmas carols. As Bart says in the episode, you know, TV writers have been milking that cow for ages. And Homer decides to become kind and selfless, which it then turns into a battle between Homer and Flanders to become the nicest man in town. And then Flanders, again, this is the way the story goes, decides to give every single person in town a present. Homer finds himself threatened, which is interesting because the entire episode leading up to that point, Flanders has been the one threatened, and suddenly Homer realizes, wait, this is a competition, which I found was interesting. And Homer gets some bad advice from Lisa, and it turns into a Grinch parody where, yes, Homer steals everyone's presents because Lisa believes that her Buddhist principles, that everybody would be happier with presents. Without presents. Sorry.
The thing that, I mean, this is like, I don't know, you know, the Simpsons fans better than me, but this feels like one of those episodes where Homer's an idiot, but in a very stupid way and like aggressive way. It doesn't make very much sense. There's a similar situation where Homer inadvertently does something stupid but well-intentioned that pisses off Flanders. The one where the hurricane blows his house away.
Right.
And they try to rebuild the house and it falls apart.
And then he goes off of them, yeah.
Yeah, you get the sign that it's a very weird character break for Flanders, but you get the sense that Homer is at least trying to do some good, but is too stupid to keep it all together. In this case, I don't know why he steals all the presents. It doesn't feel like he's like well-intentioned. He says he is.
It's a very forced move by the writers.
Yeah, he says he's well-intentioned, but he also seems like a dick. And also, the Confucius is racist, I think.
Oh, the Buddha. The Buddha.
The Buddha, yeah. That's what it is. Yeah,
this is not the first time that...
No, and it won't be the last. If you watch The Simpsons beyond this point. Yeah, every Asian character is some white guy.
There's definitely some unfortunate stuff. There's a transphobic joke with Rod or Todd.
That's good. That's representation. Good. That's good. I was watching it and I was like, this is awesome.
One problem at a time, boy. Yeah.
Eventually he'll transition. It's okay.
Yeah.
Flanders just has bigger things to deal with right now.
But like, I mean, that's supposed to be a joke line.
Sure. Yeah, the joke is that Rod and Todd are gay because,
yeah.
Anyways, but yeah, I think that if the episode has one, like, the pacing is weird because you're right. It just keeps taking sharp right turns. And mm-hmm. I think that's an interesting way to do an episode. Like, motivating the episode with Homer getting the Joe DiMaggio card's really dumb.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make any sense why the impetus to the episode is Mr. Burns pulling something out of his pocket and giving it to Homer, the guy he doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Of a baseball card. But anyways, so be it. The joke is that he's old, right?
And well, that's probably one of the best jokes in the episode, by the way, is because it's so well timed, is later on when they're in the church and he's trying to get Mr. Burns to, you know, give money. And then he goes, "Why don't you take my blood, will you?" And he pokes his skin and it, you know, just a burst of dust comes out. And he's like, "Yes, I'm old," which is very funny because I think it's the timing of it.
Yes. You know?
And that's the thing. What we're going to talk about later is the fact that the show, despite everything you're talking about right now, at least has some life to it.
Oh, God, yeah. They don't know how to write Mr. Burns anymore, specifically. Yeah. It's a really big problematic issue in the past 4 years of the show. But, yeah, I think, you know, you can follow it generally. The pacing makes a bit of sense. I don't even think it's the first time Homer has ever purchased a gift selfishly, like with the family's money. I guess you could say it's similar to the bowling ball for Marge. Things like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Actually, it's explicitly that now that I think about it. Just with fewer steps. He's not buying it for someone else to take it. He's buying it for him. But yeah, I like the bit with the comic book guy and the Joe DiMaggio card. I don't like the bit with Bart and the educational game. I think that just... I don't know.
That's such a lazy joke. Like,
it's just the style of jokes are super lazy. They're just boring, either boring historical references no one cares about, or there's just dull dialogue. Like Lisa and Mom talk, Lisa and Marge talking about shopping till you droop.
Yeah. I think
it was one of the weaker interactions. Again, we have a lot more to talk about the next one, but ultimately, I think it's an inoffensive episode with some funny jokes. So once Homer steals all of the gifts, him and Flanders get into an altercation with the rest of the city where Homer realizes he should give the gifts back, leading to a couple of sight gags with Professor Frink and a bra,
as well as
Moe's attempted suicide.
Yeah. And Moe's attempted suicide, which is, we're going to talk about padding on the next episode because
what's the one where Moe puts his head in the oven? What episode is that? Do you remember?
I know exactly what you're talking about, but I do not remember.
It's like a cutaway, like a 2 second cutaway.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But we're going to talk about padding later on, but God, that was so obvious. Padding is so funny because they're like, you know, it's the episode's wrapping up. Yeah. Not even Moe's attempted suicide. And then the Alf Clausen score kicks in like as a turn. Ba-dum, and they're like looking at Moe and he's like, "Oh, yeah, never mind." And he falls and you kind of get a like quick shot of him like lying on the floor. So, you know, he's not dead, but still,
right.
It's always one of those like, "Oh, we're still going. Okay. I guess we are."
Well, there's a way to pace that joke because it's essentially the same bit as the human fly at the end of the B Sharps episode where like the climax is happening. The episode's ending on its pleasant conclusion, cut to something funny. Have that little funny bit end and move on.
Right.
But shifting the music,
it's like taking, it's like, you know, it's kind of moving over. They actually like wrote a music cue for this and really like shifted the pacing of the scene, which I find is interesting. Like, oh, okay. That's interesting that you would decide to do that.
Agreed.
But
one of the biggest problems in most art is knowing when to shut up and end. And I think this is just one of those cases where it's like, we've done enough, like enough has happened.
Yeah.
Just end the episode.
But the thing is that when I was much younger, this episode is, I'm very, you're going to have to give me a second, but this episode, I don't even want it. Let's see. Today is, we are recording this on December 6th, okay? And this episode will be going up in a week from this Friday. This episode aired December 14th, 2003, which this episode will be coming out on December 15th, 2023. So when this is coming out, yesterday will be the 20th anniversary of this episode. when I saw this 20 years ago, I loved it. I praised it. I thought it was one of the best episodes in years. And maybe it's because I'm a little merry boy. And I loved the fact that the episode is from front to back filled with Christmas music. And it is probably one of the most, you know, really Christmas-centric episodes of the show, if you're really thinking about it. And maybe this is Al Jean just like using the music as spackle to, to cover its flaws. Maybe. I don't know. But they have the Christmas Convoy song, which is a lot of fun, but lots of music drops, which, thinking about it, it was like using that as montages. That was a very Al Jean move back in the day, because it's just an easy way to get humor across and to get story writing across. But maybe that's what kind of fooled me at the time. I came across from the still liking it a bit more than some of the episodes around that time, and certainly more than the episode we're going to talk about afterwards. But I did come across liking it a lot less this time. The story writing is a little weaker. The humor is not as sharp as I thought. There's weird jokes like, this is offensive this is offensive to Californians and prunes or something, like Christians and prunes, with the California raisins, prunes or whatever it is. And then, you know, the Jimmy Stewart bit. And yeah, it is cool that they contacted the Kyoto brothers and got them to do stop motion for this. Unfortunately, the joke sucks. So I don't know what else, you know, that's kind of really covering up the fact that the humor doesn't work as well.
The parodies are just bad because they're not original jokes on themselves. Like, I think that, you know, it takes a lot of work to, you just do a 1 second, like one word joke, like now return to the Christmas prunes and then that, and then move on. Mm-hmm. I don't need to see it, but you watch so much of it. And the bit is never something interesting. It's that, isn't it weird that they're singing prunes? And it's like, shut the fuck up. Shut up.
Yeah.
Yes, the California raisins were weird. But I guess it was 2000. When was this?
2003.
Yeah. Didn't the California raisins like stop?
Oh,
didn't they ages get rid ago. Of those like in the 90s or the 80s?
Ages ago. Yeah. That was a Will Vinton thing. So ages ago. But but some of the parodies do work. The Star Trek Christmas Carol thing, I actually do think it's very funny. That's a clever idea. And weirdly enough, like, you know, doing the Mr. Magoo Christmas Carol thing is pretty accurate. I like how they use something that Homer would get into to kind of wedge in that Christmas Carol thing. Although, again, lots of weird jokes. Unloved by Al. What's the joke there? I don't.
It'd be funnier if like the snow was still covering the L or something. Christmas Carol.
Yeah, it's the Ghost of Christmas Future. Then points unloved by all. I don't. What?
You have to take up 10 years.
Yeah,
10 years. It's, you have too much time, and
you have to, you know, use up the minute somehow. But I don't know. I think the fact that the next episode is so bad makes it a lot better in hindsight. Would you agree with that?
The next episode is pretty insufferable, but it's also, I think, almost inoffensively bad, like, except for a certain part of the episode, which gets really boring and annoying, and also takes 1,000 years to end over and over again. Yeah, the season 15 episode, what's this one called again?
It is the 15th season.
Oh yeah, there you
go.
'Tis the 15th season. It's one of the better Christmas episodes, I guess, you could watch of a show, perhaps, but only insofar that there are very few Simpsons Christmas episodes I think that are worth watching. And that it doesn't do anything horribly offensive.
Yeah.
Like, it's just meh. It's the worst kind of bits of the seas of the time period without necessarily being obnoxious. Too many cultural references, not enough interesting storytelling, too much jerk ass Homer.
Yeah.
whatever.
Yeah. So we're going to jump in time 16 years later. And this is the episode that you picked.
I don't know. I think I just did it to intentionally pick the one of the worst ones. I just thought the more recent would be the more obnoxious.
Have you seen this episode before this? But
no, I don't. I try not to watch any Simpsons beyond season 8. I just try to avoid anything after that.
So this is 2019's.
Yeah.
Bobby, It's Cold Outside from season 31. So this aired...
Did you predict the twist? I just want to throw this out before you keep going on.
Here's the thing. I have seen this episode before.
Oh, okay.
However, it is so unmemorable that I did not remember who SB was. Okay? I am not joking.
That is awesome.
It was so unmemorable. But this episode is so anemic and so bizarre. Like, all right, let's get into it. Bobby is cold outside.
I'm angry. I'm thinking about, I just had like this. Okay, sorry, go ahead. We'll talk about it because I have a lot to say, I guess, apparently.
Oh, okay. So it is about our good friend Sideshow Bob in this. Now, Sideshow Bob, in case you're not a Simpsons viewer, debuted
in the season. Why would they be watching this?
Listening to this, I don't know, maybe they're fans of the podcast. Sideshow Bob was voiced by Kelsey Grammer, you know, all the way back when he was just playing Frasier Crane on Cheers, and now he's on here and he's still playing Frasier Crane on the reboot of Frasier on Paramount Plus. But he debuted in that episode, Krusty Gets Busted, where he frames Krusty and is foiled by Bart. And the follow-up episode has him marry Selma Bouvier and try to kill her. And once again is framed by, is revealed by Bart to be the suspect. And thus it leads into a series of episodes where Sideshow Bob has some sort of evil plan.
Wait.
Yeah,
I thought the first episode was that he tries to kill Krusty.
No. The first episode's where he frames Krusty.
Yeah.
No, he frames Krusty. Okay. Krusty goes to jail and Bart foils him. The second is the Selma episode.
Gotcha.
And there's a bunch of episodes that lead after this. There's a Sideshow Bob Roberts, where Sideshow Bob, he keeps getting paroled out of prison, basically, and then has some evil plan and tries to screw over the Simpsons and stuff like that. But what it eventually kind of morphs into is Sideshow Bob wants to kill Bart. And this specifically comes from an episode called Cape Fear, where Sideshow Bob is trying to murder Bart Simpson because Bart keeps foiling him. And this goes all the way to this episode where they continue the whole thing where Bob has escaped out of prison and he's living in this lighthouse where he fantasizes about killing Bart Simpson. This is also the first Sideshow Bob episode that is a Christmas episode. So this episode begins with multiple cold opens, where first we see that Lenny has his packages stolen that he has ordered from Amazon. And then we got this whole thing where is this parodying anything? Is this parodying something?
Where he's Lenny in
the lighthouse? No, the lighthouse.
Oh, not that I know of.
Okay.
I don't really know why he's in a lighthouse. If somebody knows that, they should reach out to us because I didn't get the reference if there was one.
Yeah, me either. I have no idea if this was. He's in a lighthouse and basically there's some chick who's also lives in a neighboring like over there, and she has basically, she has told people in town about him, and this gets these guys who are initially cops, but they turn out to be talent recruiters who want to hire him to play Santa Claus in a small theme park, Santa's Village theme park, which are these famous things across, you know, across the Midwest and the Northeast, which are called Santa's Village, which are these small amusement parks that typically get very famous around Christmas. And this finally leads us to the Simpsons. Marge says they're going to Santa's Village, and there's this long sequence where they sing Baby Shark in
really long
the car.
Sequence.
Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh. So they sing Baby Shark in the car, and then they finally get to the theme park, and then there is a bizarre sequence. Do you know what I'm talking about? The Maggie one?
Oh, yeah. Maggie gets put on Christmas, It's a Small World.
Yes,
they
exactly.
do the Duff Beer thing again, but this mm-hmm. time they're evil, and it yeah. goes on forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was it's so out of nowhere. It's like, what are they doing? This is so bizarre. It's just like a scary ride for babies.
It just feels like sometimes these episodes are trying to fill up minutes.
Yeah, they're just trying to fill up minutes. Like, yeah.
Oh, the baby shark. That's a thing now. Here's 3 minutes mm-hmm. of an episode.
And yeah.
The ride is they're in a theme park, so let's do a little one about white trash and scary animatronics.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And then there's a bit where they're in like Bart cuts in line, and like just to say just how sloppy the writing is. There's a bit where Kearney, they're going to beat Milhouse and Bart up, and Kearney goes, "No, I don't want to get blood on my Christmas sweater." But then the bullies beat them up and beat Kearney up, and then they get kicked out of line. But later on, you see them in line, and they kept Kearney with the blood on his sweater, but they're in line still. And it's like, wait, so they kept the bit with the blood, but they forgot the fact that they were kicked out? Like, again, it's super sloppy writing just to get more jokes in. But anyways, Bart sneaks his way into the Santa's village into seeing Santa because the line is so long. And of course it's Sideshow Bob, and he's like, "Oh, finally, I'm gonna kill Bart Simpson, but I can't because I'm method acting as Santa." So then it comes this long bit where they try to convince to the cops that like this is Sideshow Bob, but they don't care because he's a Santa. And Homer was also, they referred to the pilot where, or pilot, whatever, the first Christmas episode where Homer was a Santa. And then they kind of forget that, but then they move back to the Amazon stealing plot. This is so bad. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm just listening to you talk about the plot here. Just kind of flounder around because I honestly can't remember what happens in between now and when they go to the warehouse. I think they follow the truck.
Yeah, pretty much what happens.
Oh, they put Sideshow Bob in a box.
That's right. They find out that their presents have been stolen, and then this inspires Bart to go back to the Santa's village to find Sideshow Bob again. Just terrific story writing. Clap, clap, clap. And then they get Sideshow Bob to like help the Simpsons foil this plot, go to this warehouse where, oh, that's right. I forgot about this whole thing where Lenny does this whole thing where he tries to catch the person. And
yeah. And that's why he puts SB on the ground. Yeah. Because the episode is a cross for some reason between Cape Fear and Who Killed Mr. Burns.
Yeah.
But there's no bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
And also it's Mr. Burns again.
Yeah, where he puts SB on there, and then like Wiggum like tries to arrest a bunch of people with the credits, you know, with the initials SB, and where they get some guest appearances like Scott Bakula and then Steve Ballmer, who was the owner of the Clippers. And I believe the reason why they got Steve Ballmer is because I believe James L. Brooks is a huge Clippers fan. So
I love the Simpsons now. Yeah. So great. Simpsons is awesome because everything is stupid. Nothing has a point. My favorite bit in the episode, by and far, the point where I knew I was watching a modern Simpsons episode, wasn't when Homer is talking to Marge, asking if they could watch the sexy Tony Roma.
Biopic. He produces a DVD of Roma, and it says the story of Tony Roma's ribs.
Yeah, and that's not my favorite bit. It was almost my favorite bit because that is lazy and awful, and anyone who wrote that joke should be fired. But the entire team should be fired for when Sandra Bullock walks to the front
yep.
and doesn't say anything because they couldn't get Sandra Bullock. So she covers her eye with a piece of cloth and walks down the stairs.
Yeah,
that's like a fucking Family Guy bit.
Yeah, it's a Bird Box joke. And
this is worse than the time I drove with Sandra Bullock and she's driving with a cloth on her face.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That would be the bit. What a piece of shit show for morons. If you watch Modern Simpsons and you're not like a historian or whatever, like the real Jims, then you're an idiot. You need to stop watching it. It's so terrible, and you're worth more than that. Even Modern Family Guy is funnier than Simpsons.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
The part of the episode that frustrated me the most is that when Lenny, and back to your plot synopsis, Lenny, the episode puts SB on the ground, which obviously what is trying to happen there is they're trying to motivate Sideshow Bob, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, because you're not an idiot, that it's a twist, right?
Yeah.
So it's there's going to be a twist. And my first thought was, it's Smithers Burns. It's just because it's just who killed Mr. Burns. It's the same bit, but less funny and less interesting and less motivated and more boring. The problem is that unfortunately, Sideshow Bob has an inverted letters to Bart Simpson.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to write a funny episode, you have Sideshow Bob be the person Bart thinks did it, then have everyone else think Bart Simpson did it, and have the two of them have to join sides to prove each other's name right. And that's why Sideshow Bob should be a good guy, is because he's for some reason he's method acting and should be trying to help Bart. Mm-hmm. And then they discover it's Mr. Burns.
God, you're correct. They should have had Lenny write SB, but it's like, is he writing BS or SB? And they see it's
BS. Simpson's Bart.
Yeah,
or Bart. Something like that. Yeah.
No. Well, Bart Simpson.
Yeah,
and
sure.
They're like, everyone thinks it's Bart Simpson instead of, you know, they get the lazy joke where they arrest Selma Bouvier because Homer turns.
That was funny. Come on.
Yeah.
I laughed at that one. Yeah. I did. There were two jokes. I laughed at two jokes. I laughed at Selma being arrested, but I actually thought a quite funny one was when the random guy gets his package stolen and he says, my patio fixing supplies have been stolen. His house collapses on top of him.
Mm-hmm.
I did laugh at that. Maybe I'm just a fool who thinks Looney Tunes jokes are funny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When people get hit. But I thought, if you took the episode and had it such that like Bart is being framed by this.
Yeah.
And now Sideshow Bob, who would previously have reveled in Bart going to jail,
mm-hmm.
is going to help Bart. I don't know why. You'd have to motivate it better than he's a method actor. Like Daniel Day-Lewis in Phantom Thread. What an annoying reference, too.
That's just that's the joke.
That movie just came out.
Yeah.
Not like a famous Daniel Day-Lewis movie. Just like it just feels like someone on the writing staff was into movies and just wanted to put recent movies, but not like good movies. I mean, they are great movies. Roma's okay, but Phantom Thread's awesome. But like, it just reeks of being forced into it. But anyways, if you had the bit B, because on face, it's not an interesting twist, because I think I did at least immediately thought it's Mr. Burns.
I was so tired when watching this.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about it. I was like,
did you watch it on your phone?
Yes, of course I did.
God, who cares?
It's Simpsons. It's Simpsons.
Get your TV on.
David Lynch ain't going to give a shit about the Simpsons being watched on my phone.
Did you hear he just got divorced?
That's sad. Yeah.
He's like 76.
Mm-hmm. I know.
It's also his fourth wife. Anyways, moving on. I shouldn't say that. Cut that out. I like the guy. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Anyways, Mr. Burns, obvious twist. You could have had the episode be a little more interesting by having him follow Bart, by having there be some like play about Sideshow Bob is actually trying to save Bart this time.
Do you want to talk about why Mr. Burns did it?
I do. There is a pernicious problem with The Simpsons lately, and everyone says that it's missed. It's fuck. I ruined my thing. Everyone says that it's Marge, and like the voice is awful. And other people say that it's the plots. It's all true. But to me, the worst one, by and far, the worst one is Mr. Burns. Mr. Burns is laughably bad in the most recent seasons of The Simpsons.
Okay, do not watch recent Simpsons because he sounds so bad lately.
He sounds bad. Harry Shearer is obviously in a home studio because the mic sounds different and it doesn't sound balanced.
If you think this was 4 years ago, he sounds 100 times better in this episode.
He talks like this now.
Yeah, yeah. He sounds 100 times better in this episode than he does in the
episode. 100%.
It is terrifying how much it's gone downhill.
It's bad, but I also think, like, not only does he sound bad, at least Julie Carver, is that her name, who does
Julie
Marge?
Julie Kavner,
yeah. At least Julie Kavner is trying with Marge. It's hard on the voice, but she's trying.
Yeah.
Harry Shearer is not trying with Mr. Burns. The delivery is miserably bad, but what's worse is the way they write him for the past, like, 5 years, apparently. Mm-hmm. Recent episodes... one such example, I was first clued into this when Mr. Burns makes a joke about lazy goofball bimbos and transgenders. You've seen that, I'm sure, right?
I think, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That cued me in to start paying more attention to Mr. Burns. Then a more recent episode, you would have to tell me the name of the episode because I don't remember, but it was relatively recent, within the past 2 years, where Mr. Burns stands up in front of a group of rich people.
Yes, I know exactly what they're talking about.
Yes. It talks about, like, stealing from the poor. And in that episode, it isn't, like, motivated. Like, it doesn't... He comes in at the end.
And it sounds, like, so bizarre.
We are supposed to be the rich people.
He talks like that.
Oh, no. It's totally... It's a little different than that. Does not sound like Mr. Burns. It sounds like an entirely different person.
It's rough. This episode must have been, then, like, the beginning of the end. Because Mr. Burns comes into the story at the very end for no good reason.
Yeah.
And in, like, the most half-assed performance and script, delivers a monologue about how his parents sent him to boarding school on Christmas.
He went to the department store Santa.
Gimbel's, yeah.
Yeah, at Gimbel's, who promised him that he would, like, get a hug from his parents. And instead, on Christmas, he got sent to boarding school. That's the whole thing. And because of that, he's stealing Christmas, I guess. Yeah. And then Sideshow Bob uses psychiatric therapy or something like that to convince Mr. Burns that he's back in Gimbel's and getting a hug from his parents or some shit.
The show's such a piece of shit that it had to do the Bobo episode again.
Yeah.
But worse. They had to do Mr. Burns desires his parents' love from when he was a kid and sent to boarding school. But that one's funny because it's Citizen Kane, and this is bad because it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then so what happens? So he sits him on his lap and he's like, I'm, you know, yeah, you, your parents made you strong and a piece of shit.
Yeah. Or something.
Yeah. And like an evil person. And that's why they actually gave you the best gift of all. And Mr. Burns goes, great. And then I can't remember what happens before the lighthouse scene at the end.
Okay. So this is what happens next is that there is a scene where the Simpsons, they finally get all the presents back. The Simpsons are at home. And it's like Marge and Homer, and they're like, oh, we're going to enjoy, this is a Christmas gift. We get to enjoy 1 second with us being just having 5 minutes together. But the kids come downstairs and they discover that their presents are loud instruments. And then it ends. But if you look at your timer on Disney Plus, there's 5 more minutes in the episode. And you're like, how? And that's because the episode came in so short. There is not one. There are two. There are two fucking scenes in this at the end. Two. Okay? Like, it is unbelievable. So the first scene is Sideshow Bob and that chicky scene in the lighthouse. And she tries to come on to him. And remember the episode's called Bobby, It's Cold Outside. Well, the Simpsons writers, thinking they're so clever to go against the SJWs of the world, make fun of Baby It's Cold Outside being sort of a rapey song. So the entire joke in this is that they start to sing a parody of Baby It's Cold Outside, but it's all about consent. Hilarious. Freaking hysterical. Didn't you laugh so hard?
That's funny. I thought the joke was the opposite. I thought the joke was the Simpsons writers being annoying babies, like, and trying to do Baby It's Cold Outside where the woman pushes on the man.
Dance. Eventually, that's the thing. You are kind of right, but it turns into a bit about consent.
I remember she did say, I give consent.
Yeah, I give consent. And then they write a contract.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the Simpsons are kind of hacks. Even if I kind of My only interesting opinion about this is that if you watch the original movie, it's not as bad as everyone says it is. But also, I don't care. And also, The Simpsons are really weird about this. I don't like when they don't have the ability to make a point anymore. They just get petty. It's like the Apu episode. Like, you remember the one where they, the first one they talk about Apu, everyone's like, oh, but it's okay. But then the next one, they're like, well, a hate mob might have to make us get rid of a famous character. And it's like, fuck off, Marge. It's like, it's too much. They just get petty. They can't write anymore. So they just say things. That's the problem, is there's no writing in The Simpsons anymore. There's just people who say familiar things, like Baby Shark.
It's almost as if these episodes were, I don't know, written by longtime Simpsons writers who are these, again, old, stuffy Harvard graduates. Oh, look at that. They are. It was.
Wait, no. You don't agree with that at all.
Jeff Westbrook and John Frink. Jeff Westbrook did graduate from Harvard, just like Al Jean's stuffy old shitty Harvard pals.
You don't agree with this because I have one counterexample that'll just eviscerate your argument.
Okay, go ahead.
Conan.
Okay, but that's the thing. Does Conan write on The Simpsons anymore?
It's not but it's not because they went to Harvard or stuffy. It's because they're shitty writers, and they always have been.
But that's the thing. But Al Jean is. It's not about what happened in the 90s. I'm talking about what's happening now. He only hires his stuffy old ass Harvard buddies, and there's no infusion of life into the show. That's my point.
I mean, at this point, I think that's fair. I think what ultimately has happened is that. The Simpsons, I don't know if anyone cares about it or has passion for it anymore. Mm-hmm. Maybe David Silverman for the shorts he directs, which all blow.
Don't talk about those.
They're all terrible. I feel so bad making fun of other people's art, but also I don't think it's art when you phone it in so badly that it feels like a product. That's the thing, is like you might shit on the Seth MacFarlane shows for their poor comedy. But at the very least, the writer's room is a constant rotation.
Oh, yeah. Like, and that's
every
the thing.
2 years, there's new writers. If you watch, the show kind of evolves with it.
If you watch Family Guy, at least there's a few. You don't watch it for the story. You watch it for the laughs.
They're decent laughs. American Dad, I think, fares a lot better. But
not anymore. I think the TBS episodes are terrible, but.
I don't know if the show was ever that great, but I think that ultimately, one problem with The Simpsons is that there's no new blood, but I don't think there ever will be any new blood.
Yeah.
Because right now it's essentially a bunch of guys living their glory days over and over and over again. And performers who maybe are doing the same thing or maybe just need a dependable paycheck. Disney likes it as a legacy piece. They can keep saying they still have The Simpsons. We're still airing The Simpsons. I don't know what it benefits them, but they might say it. And you get stuff like this episode where there is not a single remarkable bit of the narrative, nor a single remarkable performance.
Okay. Can we talk about where it gets even more bizarre? So... The Sideshow Bob thing, the joke is that they're about to fuck and the sea captain crashes because the lighthouse hasn't been turned on. And you would think, okay, they're going to button the episode with this, cut to credits and whatever. No, it does not, because we still need to fill more time. And James L. Brooks really loves Steve Ballmer. So we need to do another scene with Steve Ballmer. They cut to the airport where Burns meets him and Steve Ballmer gives him a pep talk on optimism. And this cuts with Burns, like, I guess, going to the hospital or something like that. And it is baffling at this point. You feel like you're being gaslit at this point. There's no way this is real. There is no way they could not add more to this episode that they had to add this in. It's inexplicable. This is one of the worst episodes
I've ever seen.
Yeah, it goes on forever. This is a 21-minute episode.
Does Smithers speak once in that episode?
I have no idea. I can't tell you.
Having just watched it, I mean, maybe once or twice, but I can't remember a single line he says.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they're at an airport. I don't know what the last bit is. I don't know why the credits aren't running over the last bit.
No.
Like, if it was like one of those little credits things where they just play a scene while the credits run, I get it. But it just, it just keeps fucking going.
I know.
The show keeps fucking going. I'm begging everyone in the show to quit. Quit your job and move on. Jesus.
It is the saddest thing. And this is 2019. This is December 2019. Disney Plus has just started. And the worst is yet to come for The Simpsons. Like, somehow the worst is yet to come. It is so sad. And that is kind of the thing, is just watching the evolution of it going from bad to worse. I find is fascinating, because I asked you to select an episode, and like, here are any episodes, and you selected this one, and I'm like, you know what, I think we should do a comparison, and let's start at the beginning of the end. And just, God, it's depressing, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like insufferably bad.
Yeah,
unfortunately. And
If you want to watch a good movie this Christmas, everyone, please go watch Eyes Wide Shut. If you've never heard about it, it's this great relationship story. It takes place during Christmas. You'll really love it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't watch The Simpsons. That, or watch The Nightmare Before Christmas, which is my de facto take, is that that's a Christmas movie. So you go watch that too.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
But watch Eyes Wide Shut first.
I would suggest to people to watch National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, which is my favorite Christmas movie, because I just think it's extremely funny. Or you can watch the original Home Alone, which makes me cry. I'm sorry.
The greatest Christmas movie of all time is Frank Capra's It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay.
And I would highly recommend it.
Yeah, great movie.
It's a little take. No one's ever heard of it.
That's my dad's favorite Christmas movie, easily. Yeah. But that about takes us for the Winter Break Fun Day this year. We will have one more episode available on our Ko-Fi just before the holidays. We hope you enjoy that. But we will be back next month for Unbuilt, doing yet another January winter series. But in the meantime, please follow us on social media, on Twitter at UnbuiltPod. You can reach me at OpenMothersMail and Ryan Dorman at OpenTheDorman. Feel free to email us at UnbuiltPod@gmail.com. Rate us on wherever you find this podcast. Please write a review and tell us how we're doing. And if you don't like us, thank you for listening to The Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Matt Gourley. See you guys.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Why don't you just take my blood? Yes, I'm old.